This is the Lifting Standards Podcast with your host, Dalton Nicholas, a fitness professional with a new age view on the health and fitness lifestyle. Enjoy.
And welcome back. This is the Lifting Standards Podcast, and I am your host, Dalton Nicholas. Thank you very much for tuning back in if you are a subscriber. If you are not, please go over and hit that subscribe button so you get updated with all our new episodes. This is season two, episode two of the season, episode 14 of the whole podcast, I believe. And today's topic is going to be basic nutrition. So we held a little vote on Instagram whether it was going to be basic nutrition or mobility, and basic nutrition won, I think, like 12 to 8 or something like that. So it was a pretty wide margin, more for basic nutrition, and that was pretty sweet. Thank you all for voting in that. I'm going to do more of those, so I'm sure to give you guys what you want to hear, so stay on the lookout for more of those votes on the Instagram at Lifting Standards Training. And so just to start it off, this is going to be all about basic nutrition, obviously, but things that you need to focus on rather than getting lost in all of the popular things that are going on, like the diets or like the newest like timing of your nutrients, whatever, all the stuff that can make it so confusing for you and make dieting or bulking even more difficult than it already is in making that huge lifestyle change that you're going after. So we're going to talk about what to focus on in the first 2 months. We're going to hit a little bit of macros and micros, nutrients, that is, and where they should fall into the picture of everything. At the end of the episode, we're going to talk a little bit about where you would want to go from here, like to make a more advanced nutrition, like learn a little bit more about it. I'm sure there will be an advanced nutrition episode in the near future. I'm not sure when that'll come out, but I'm sure we will do one of those. But at the end of it, we'll talk about things that you should know about just if you're trying to improve a little bit there too. So, to kick it off, what do you want to focus on in the first 2 months of your nutrition program or whatever you are doing? You want to make small, sustainable lifestyle habits. Things that you should focus on should be making the meals, make sure you're cooking the food instead of going out, hitting your calorie goal for the week or even the month. Just small things that you can hit that aren't too overwhelming. You don't want to make too much of a drastic change, or you're just going to crash and burn. The all or nothing approach does not work very well for most people. So just creating sustainable lifestyle habits is going to be your number one thing to focus on in the first 2 months. And then we will move on from there. It's usually the 2 month mark is pretty new for everybody. So it's good to have that under your belt before you start worrying about too many other things. In that 2 month mark, you want to find a way to keep yourself accountable for all those habits that you're creating, whether it be a money jar, whatever you would do, maybe a coach, plug Lifting Standards online training, a coach, a friend that's going on a diet with you, your family members, or even if you're just that good, just holding yourself accountable and really just buckling down and staying nice and strict on whatever you're doing. Third thing I want you to do is make some realistic goals. I don't want like no 15 pounds a week until the summer shred season comes. Like 1 to 2 pounds is the safest. Towards the beginning, obviously, you may lose a little bit more water weight and things like that. But 1 to 2 pounds is the recommended weight loss for the general population. And you can do that simply by taking out 3,500 calories over the entire week, which is 1 pound. So 1 pound, 3,500 calories, that's something obviously you should know as well in this basic nutrition podcast. So if you're trying to cut that out over the 7 days of your nutrition week, you should be trying to take out 3,500 calories. And a lot of people will break it down for you for each day, how many calories that is. But I don't even want you to do that because that's just like too robotic for some people. Just make sure that you're hitting that 3,500 calorie deficit throughout the whole week. And I'll tell you how to figure out how to make a deficit or how to create a deficit for one, and how to find out if you're actually hitting that deficit as well. But that'll be later on in the episode. So after making the realistic goals at the beginning, within the first 2 months, your consistency is going to be the biggest key here, obviously. You can't just diet for 1 week, not diet for three, and expect to hit your goals. The calorie goal is the biggest thing. You don't need to focus on anything else. Just make sure that you're hitting your calories. Once you have that set, we'll talk about it in the next segment. But once you have that set in stone and you know what you need to hit that goal, and then you'll be able to either adjust those in the next month after the first 2 months, or even the first month you can adjust it after. But after you hit that, and if you're being honest with your coach or your nutritionist or whoever, even yourself, if you did that and you lost a little bit too much weight, you might even be able to have a little bit more calories. Or if you gained a little bit too much weight, you got to cut back a little bit of calories. But just being honest about that too will make it so your nutrition program goes as smoothly as possible with whoever you're working with, or even if it's just yourself, and making sure that you hit that goal for the month or 2 months will give you the best transition into the next couple of months ahead of you as well, whether it be hitting your goals better or getting more food in there and actually taking the time to lose or gain the weight correctly. So in the first 2 months, this is going to involve you eating out less. I think that's obvious for everyone, but I felt the need to say it because even if you're getting salads at these places, eating out, it's just they're loaded with so much dressing or just so much not fruit. Fruit is not bad, but some fruit could be high calorie, or if there's a bunch of fruit in it, it's a lot more calories than led on to be, for sure, unless you know how to order it. So that's something you could learn as well. Maybe dressing on the side, having them measure out the dressing so you'll know. That's a little bit more like advanced or strict. But for the everyday person, if you're going out, you might as well have the burger and fries, and then you can put that in there and it might be like 15 to 1700 calories, and then just make up for it later on in the week, whether that be more walking or having a little bit less calories each day. And I'm not talking dropping 1000 calories later on in the week. I'm just talking maybe add another 100 calories less for the rest of the week if you really wanted to have that burger and fries. But to each their own. Everybody's going to have their own battles throughout their own nutrition program. And with eating out less, this is going to mean you're going to be cooking more at home. I honestly think Pinterest, Instagram, I know Flavor God has some awesome stuff on Instagram with posting like food recipes and things like that and the seasonings and whatnot. So I think just looking online to make creative dishes and really enjoying the cooking, if you are that type of person, will do well for you. But if you hate cooking, absolutely, you can do the boil in the bag rice and baked chicken, but I always like to add some sort of, like, even if it's just a quarter of a cup of breadcrumbs just to give the chicken some texture, because after a while that skinless, boneless chicken is just super brutal. So you could do that. You could add some different types of, I like the teriyaki or the General Tso's, like low sodium seasonings and things, or sauces. That'll do really well for you. But cooking more obviously will be better for you because you know everything that's going into the dish and what's going into your body. Learning how to affect the deficit or the surplus is probably a little bit after the first 2 months. If you're working with a coach or something, you should always be learning. Like, unless you have unlimited amount of wealth, you want to be learning as much as you can from your coach or your nutritionist, just so you don't have to pay them forever. You don't have to work with them forever. That's what I try to do for everybody I work with. I want them to, if they're willing to learn or they want to learn, by all means, here's all my knowledge, take it. I want you to be able to go out there and kill it by yourself. So learning how to affect your deficit or your surplus outside of what you're putting into your body is huge. And I know this is a nutrition podcast, but being able to manipulate your own deficit or surplus outside of the food you're putting in is going to be something that most people won't think of. So if you're trying to build a deficit, everyone obviously thinks of cardio, but just throughout the day, maybe you walk up the stairs instead of going on the elevator. It's called the NEAT. So just the amount of energy you burn doing everyday activities is the basic gist of what NEAT is. You can look it up if you'd like a more scientific definition, but this is more for the general public. So basically, if you can get your NEAT up, so taking the stairs instead of the elevator, maybe walking, if you're close enough to work, walk to work instead of taking your car, or walk to the store instead of taking your car, doing those things will help boost up your BMR, which we'll explain a little bit more in depth later. But BMR is just your base metabolic rate, a basal metabolic rate, but basically what you burn in a day is what BMR is. And then you take that and it's a certain number. Okay, so say mine is 3,000 calories, and throughout the whole week, if I wanted to burn 1 pound of fat, hopefully, if I wanted to lose 1 pound on the scale, and I have a BMR of 3,000 calories, stay with me here, I would just be taking out a small amount each day of the week to equal 3,500 calories at the end of the week, total of the amount of calories that I have burned extra outside of what my body needs to maintain its weight. So BMR basically means maintaining your weight. Say it's minus 3,000 calories. And if each day, so 3,000, 6,000, 9,000, obviously each day you add that up, you come to a certain number, and then you take that number, and if you just can manage to cut out 3,500 calories out of that by the end of the week, you will have lost a pound. I hope that was a good enough explanation for you guys. That is all you need to do to lose weight. So you can go online, or you could, I mean, your coach obviously should be doing this, giving you what your BMR is. There's calculators and things like that. You can go online, do it yourself, put your age, your weight, your height, and your activity level, I believe. And it'll give you a certain number of calories. So then you have your maintenance calories, what you need to intake to maintain your certain weight. And then all you got to do is take 3,500 calories, divide that by 7, if that's what your goal is, if you want to lose 1 pound. Then take out that much each day, or take out a little bit more this day, a little bit less that day. Everybody's got to be flexible. I want you to learn what you're doing to your body, so that way you have a better understanding, you'll have a better reason to why you're doing it, and you'll be able to do it more consistently and forever and ever. You won't need somebody to tell you how to do it again afterwards. So that is what BMR is. So that is how you make a deficit. So outside of putting in stuff in your, putting food into your body, you need to either walk more, do more cardio. I don't want you to do so much cardio, like 250 calories to 500 calories a day of like strictly cardio. You can do other activities to get more calories burned, hiking, basketball, any sort of sport, walking, running, whatever it may be, frisbee, I don't care. But you should be affecting your deficit outside of your nutrition program too. I don't like it if people are just doing a nutritional diet and not doing any sort of form of exercise. Like, I don't think that will... It's harder, first of all, because you don't have any, like, you would have to eat super strict forever to be able to lose any real weight, and you're not gaining any sort of strength unless you're doing strength building, but even then you'd be burning more calories even if you're just going to the gym and weight training. So you should definitely be exercising on top of your nutrition plan. I think that's pretty obvious for some people, but just if it's not, you should be doing that. You should be going out and doing more things, more active things, to help build the gap between your maintenance calories and your deficit that you want to hit. You want to make that gap as big as possible, because the more it is, the more weight you'll lose within reason. You don't want to have a 3,000 maintenance calories and be eating 1,000 calories, but you should want to make your activities, the amount of calories you burn through activities, as high as you realistically can throughout the day without going on the treadmill 5 times a day, just sweating your guts out. So that's how you would affect it through a deficit. The way I want you to help, that's how you would affect it outside of what you put into your body for a deficit. So for a surplus, it's the exact opposite. If you're trying to bulk up, gain muscle, and you're having a hard time eating enough, you really want to cut back on the cardio. I know, crazy. Oh my God, he's nuts. But if you're trying to really build up, bulk up, you don't want to be doing a crazy amount of cardio if your main goal is to build mass in general. If you're trying to gain weight, you should probably cut back a little bit on if you're doing excessive cardio. You should be eating over the BMR that we were talking about earlier. So if it's 3,000 calories, I wanted to gain that a pound a week or whatever it may be, you would want to take that same 3,500 of calories, which is a pound, and then you would want to add a little bit more to my BMR every day. So if I needed to eat 3,000 calories to stay the same weight, I ate 3,300, and then I gained a pound by the end of the week. Get what I'm saying? I hope so. And if you ever have any questions on anything that I talk about in the podcast, for sure you can send me a message on Facebook at Lifting Standards, on Instagram at Lifting Standards Training, or Lifting Standards. I look at both of them pretty much every day. So if there's any part of the podcast that you are confused on, or if you'd like some clarification, please don't be afraid to send me a message. I'm sure I will get back to you within reasonable time most days. But just to summarize the surplus thing, obviously I would want people to be doing cardio, but some people have a really hard time eating a lot. It's crazy to me because I could eat all day long, but I have tons of friends who have issues gaining weight, and I've seen clients, not any of mine in particular, but I've seen other people's clients who have had hard times gaining weight, and just the calories that they have to input are crazy for some people, and it's just hard for them to eat. So if you're doing if you're really trying to gain weight, you want to stay away from like the treadmill for a little bit at least until you can get that food up, and then you'll see on the scale within the first 2 months what you have to do, whether it be cut back on cardio. If you gain too fast, maybe do a little bit more again. Eat as much food as possible within reason. You don't want excess fat if you're just trying to lean bulk. But you'll if you just pay attention to everything that you're doing, that sounds a little scary, but it's really not. So if you're tracking your food, you know how much you're intaking throughout the whole month. It's honestly not that hard to see on the scale. So you weigh yourself day one, you're 200 pounds. At the end of day 30, if you've been tracking your food and you know all the stuff that you've been doing, if you could not even like to each activity, but if you just think back throughout the whole month, like, hey, was I active? No. All right, maybe I should bring my activity up because I've only lost like 2 pounds in the whole month. Or have you been extremely active and under eating and like, hey, I lost 15 pounds this month. Maybe I should like chill out, maybe slow down on how much I'm cutting my calories and maybe only do 2 cardio sessions a week instead of 6. Like, you'll know what to do. And if you're ever like too scared or like really worried about it, you could absolutely go out and talk to a personal trainer, talk to a coach online. Most people will answer like a quick question on Instagram. I absolutely would. But if you're really that nervous, like you should really just invest in your health and get a coach of some sort. And I'm not even saying me, like obviously I would work with you, but other people, like I really value having a coach a lot. And I don't think a lot of people necessarily see the value, but just having someone to lay it all out there and be honest with you and be able to keep track of some of the stuff that you may not think of is huge. And it'll help you so much with your progress and just overall life goals. So I think that's extremely valuable in this portion of the nutrition part. Like you're getting right off of 2 months here and you just, if you're not necessarily 100% sure what you're doing, like go out and invest in some sort of coach for sure. All right, that was segment one. We're right around the end of 2 months here. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and then we will get right back into the episode. Thanks. All right, we're back. Thank you again for listening through that. And we are on to segment two. So I want to talk about like the nutritional pyramid and not the traditional one that you hear about. This is basically like the level of concern you should have with the things that you always hear about. So right at the base will be the most important, and that will be your calorie in versus calorie out, which would be like calorie deficit or calorie surplus, depending on what your goal is, or maintenance if you're just trying to maintain. So right at the bottom of the pyramid, that'll be your biggest thing to worry about no matter what you're doing. And then second on top of that pyramid, a little bit smaller, but still equally like almost equally important with the bottom of the pyramid, but just a little bit less. We're going to talk about macronutrients and things of that nature. That would be pretty important for most people, especially a little bit later on in the nutrition program. maybe like 4 to 6 months, depending on everybody's different. I mean, three to six months would work too. So it's very hard to put numbers on these things, but if I had to put a rough guess, I don't think you'd really need to focus on your macros in the first 3 months of a program if you've been sitting on the couch for the last 5 months and haven't played sports in 20 years. Like, it's a very person-to-person basis, but if your macro, if it's something that gets you to track and to keep you motivated, by all means, go do the macro thing. But just the total calories in versus calories out will be your biggest thing to worry about. Second thing would be macronutrients. I think third thing, which I almost put at the bottom where macros were, would be your activity level. You need to really focus on that too. That has a, it goes hand in hand with what you're going to accomplish within your nutrition program. So that would be my third most important thing on the pyramid. I would say my fourth most important thing would be your nutrient timing. This is very, like, very small at the top of the pyramid. Not, most people won't have to worry about it. This is just like some more advanced type things that you could dabble in once you get like really steadily going. Like I said, it's hard to put numbers on it, but nine months, maybe 9 months to a year where you would start focusing on nutrient timing, unless you just really like nutrition or really are hard into your diet or surplus and you want to learn more about that stuff. It's all about how much passion you have for your nutrition program, basically. And then the last thing on there, I would say, is micronutrients. And that's what our next segment is. That's why I wanted to talk about the pyramid, because this is a basic nutrition podcast. In the first segment, I pretty much told you everything you needed to worry about if you're trying to lose or gain weight. Now we're on to the macros and micros, macronutrients. I always just call them macros and micros. And where they fall into the picture now. So like I said, 3 to 6 months for your macros. We'll talk about those first. Proteins, carbs, and fats. That's what's going to be your macronutrients. Excuse me. Basically, all you really need to know. So 4 calories for carbs and protein. 9 calories for fat per gram on each of those. And all you honestly need to know is none of them are evil. None of them are realistically superior to either or the either two. The protein would probably be my number one macro if I had to choose one. But even that, even if you overeat that, that'll still get stored. It's not like anything doesn't get stored as fat. All of it will if you eat too much of it. Or if your calories are too high, every single one of those will get stored if you need it, but all of them will get used as well if you don't hit your maintenance calories. So I wouldn't say, I would tell you to stay away from like a very, like a Atkins diet or a keto diet. If you're just starting off, I think just straight up traditional dieting will do you wonders. All you have to focus on is the total calories in versus calories out. But like I said, this is a little bit farther down. So maybe you are a little bit more sensitive to carbs. Maybe you're a little bit more sensitive to fat. But either way, usually you would want a pretty high protein diet. Helps keep you saturated. Oh my goodness. It helps you stay full. Is that word? And if someone could send me a voice message in the anchor thing down below, I would love to hear you say that word. I don't know if it's just right now, but I feel like I always have an issue saying that word. So it helps you stay more set, keeps you full longer if you have a higher protein diet. Obviously, it helps with protein synthesis if you have more protein, but it's not a crazy number. It's only around like 1 to 1.5 body fat at the most I've ever heard of, but usually like 1 to 1.3 grams of protein per pound of body fat is usually a good staple to go by. It's hard to eat that much protein, honestly. It doesn't seem that much. But once you get up there in weight, it's very difficult to eat that much protein. So I would say, on average, I would probably eat around 200 grams of protein a day, whenever I'm tracking, of course. And that's pretty tough to do. It's a lot harder than it seems, especially that's when supplements become an aiding factor in that. But that's definitely in the advanced nutrition podcast that I'll eventually do. So that's pretty much all I would really say about macros. Like I said, you don't need to get too hung up on anything else other than calories in and calories out. But after a while, once you want to kind of critique your diet or really focus in on something, you'd probably want like a high protein diet with like 50% of your nutrients coming from carbs is what I really like to do. If anybody doesn't have like a carb sensitivity, and then the rest from fat, obviously, but 15 to 20% fat, 50% carbs, and then like 30 to 35% protein usually is like a traditional diet. And that's what, if there's no outside issues or outside factors, that's what I'll probably suggest to most people. But everyone's different, so it could be, it could vary. So just know that you don't fit a certain puzzle piece ever. That's why I hate cookie cutter programs, but everybody's got to make a buck somehow, I guess. So after that, after macros, we're going to talk about micros right now. So like I told you about the pyramid at the beginning of this segment, it's not that important. Some people will like rip me up for saying that. But if your goal is to lose or gain weight, like don't get hung up on that. If a doctor or a nutritionist tells you that like, hey, you're really low in something, obviously you should try to eat more of it. I'm not telling you that. But when you start tracking something and there's 20 things that you can look at from your macronutrients all the way down your micronutrients and your minerals, like that's, and it's just very overwhelming. So if you're just focused on your calories and you're hitting your calorie goal and just trying to have a diverse amount of food, I think you'll do fine, but don't worry about that too much. Unless a doctor or a nutritionist is telling you that you need to actually up something because you have some sort of medical condition or it's actually affecting you in some way. But right off the bat in the first 2 months, like you're not going to die if you don't have enough of like a micronutrient. You're going to be okay. And most you'll have it in some of your foods most likely. So I would not worry about focusing on those right at the beginning. Like I said, in the pyramid of nutrition, it's pretty much at the top, like especially if you're focusing on losing or gaining weight. And if you have an issue with me saying that, please drop me a message and let me know your argument. I love talking about this stuff, guys. So please, either through the Anchor, I would love to hear some feedback or what your opinions are for sure on any of the topics that I covered in here or other podcasts. Please send me messages. I love talking about this stuff. So you can send it here or on my Instagram, which I said earlier in the podcast, but Lifting Standards Training or Lifting Standards. I will check my DMs for more, I guess, rebuttals. Yeah, rebuttals. I would love to hear what you have to say about this nutrition podcast for sure. So that's pretty much all I have to say about macros and micros. I don't think you need to worry about them too much, but if you wanted to learn more about them, that was pretty much my general population overview of them. Okay, so on to segment 3 and just the last segment we have today. I'm going to tell you about things that you would want to learn more about before the next podcast comes out, or if you're trying to just learn more about nutritional things and what you can do to help your training, have your nutrition help your training, and the exact opposite too, have your training help your nutrition. So things that you should look to advance your knowledge around is BMR, the basal metabolic rate. That's pretty much like the staple of everything. I've talked about it a little bit more. If you didn't understand what I was saying in the beginning, I'm sorry. You can definitely send me a message or look into it yourself. But that's definitely something you need to understand as a concept to continue your knowledge in nutrition. The glycemic index, a quick rundown of that is pretty much how quickly stuff is broken down. So food, how fast the carb is broken down. So a pixie stick has a very high glycemic index and brown rice has a very low glycemic index. It's just a line graph with how fast things get digested, basically. And that translates into the next point I want you to learn more about, simple versus complex carbs. That is in the micro and macro section. Basically, this is how you would advance your knowledge and your macronutrients. So the difference between simple and complex carbs quickly is just simple is usually high on the glycemic index, so like a sugar-based product, Powerade, Gatorade, Pixie Sticks, candy, sugar, chocolate, that type of thing. It gets digested very quickly, so which means instant energy. And the opposite of that is complex carbs, so very slow, like oatmeal, brown rice, wheat bread, whole, I would like to say whole grain cereal. Not 100% on that, but I believe it is. So complex carbs, basically just slow digestion, long lasting energy, very good for like a pre-workout meal. And then simple carbs you can have afterwards to really refill. And I transition greatly again, refill your glycogen stores, which glycogen is something you should look into more for the advanced nutrition things that you would want to learn about. Glycogen is just basically what carbs get transformed into when they go into your body. Yeah, transformed. And it plays such a huge role in everything that happens when you're working out. So really want to look into that more for sure. And yeah, take notes, guys. I really want you to learn about this stuff if you're interested. So definitely by the time that I come out with this advanced nutrition podcast, I want you all to have learned at least three of these things on this list that I'm giving you. And then I'm probably going to touch on a lot of them. But if you want more of an understanding for yourself, learning or looking it up online, I think is a great way to learn. Last two things I want you to learn before the next nutrition the advanced nutrition podcast: amino acids. Once again, just advancing your knowledge of macronutrients, because it's broken down protein basically and what makes up protein. So that's a huge thing to learn about. There's 22 essential. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure there's 22 amino acids. Hold on. Let me... amino acids. Just so I don't give you some false information. And I want you to learn about what they do in the body and not what type of supplement you should be taking. That's what I would say. So 9 amino acids, and I believe 9 essential and 22. Okay. 22 total. I was right. Okay, cool. Man, I was worried. I thought I was going to sound silly. So you should definitely learn more about those, what they do in the body, what they have to do with protein synthesis, which also you should be learning a little bit more about too, if you're talking about being more interested in nutrition. And then supplements in general, I think you should start with more of like the vitamins and like herbs, protein powder for sure. Everybody wants to know more about that. I would stay away from like the crazy muscle building stuff that they sell to you in like a GNC or vitamin shop, anything like that. Like, focus on the real stuff that has research and like more time under research, I guess. I don't think... when I say supplements and I want you to learn more about them, I don't want you to go and grab a pre-workout and learn more about that. I mean, they're very fun to learn about, but if you're really serious about learning more about nutrition, you should probably start with what all the vitamins and things do, vitamins and minerals do, before you learn like, oh, this is beta-alanine. Plus, I already did a supplement podcast, and you can go back and listen to that, and you'll learn all you need to know about supplements for basics. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you tuning in again. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe, favorite this podcast, whatever it may be on your podcast app. I need you to follow me on Instagram, Lifting Standards, Lifting Standards Training as well, and Lifting Standards on Facebook. I do offer coaching online, liftingstandards.com, and then the training is all up there. I do clothing on there as well if you want to rep any of this sweet gear. I'm wearing a crew neck, obviously in the podcast you can't see that, but in the clips and or on the YouTube video you can see light blue crew neck, very fresh. And other than that, guys, I would like to thank you for listening. I hope you gained some value out of this. I will be holding another poll on my Instagram at Lifting Standards Training to do the next podcast topic. So you guys get to pick that. That was really fun for me. I appreciate you all listening, and I hope you have a spectacular goddamn week. Awesome. All right, guys. Peace out. Thank you. Bye.